Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Peter Guralnick is passionate about the blues and American roots music. The Grammy Award-winning music writer came of age in the late 1950s and 60s here in the Boston area, where he covered the folk, rock, and blues scene for the Boston Phoenix, among other papers. In the 1970s, he published a pair of books, Lost Highway and Feel Like Going Home, about some of the great musicians of the times, from Muddy Waters to Howlin' Wolf to country music legend Merle Haggard. Now the books have been re-released as enhanced e-books with audio and video excerpts from his original interviews. Peter Guralnick came in recently to talk about them, and he began by telling us about his early love of the blues.
I just kind of fell into the blues. This friend of mine and I, when we were 15 or 16, his brother had gone to the Newport Folk Festival and came back with a bunch of albums. And included in those albums were albums by Josh White, Muddy Waters by Big Bill Brunsey. And we just flipped, both of us. We became almost fanatic, and we would go into Harvard Square and go to Briggs & Briggs and just hang out in the listening booths and listen. You know, and there were very, very few albums available then. This is like 1959, 1960.
What did you like about what you heard? I mean, what was new and different about it?
Just as Robert Johnson said, it just turned me upside down. I mean, it introduced me to something that seemed so familiar and so expressive of everything that I wanted to hear.
And of course, you begin to write about them, right? You had a background as a fiction writer, but you really sort of moved into writing about these guys, right?
I was writing things that were trying to bring people to the music. It was just a way of telling people about this music I thought was so great and trying to draw them to it. And everything I wrote in the Phoenix for the first 2 or 3 years was essentially consisted of previews, trying to describe the James Brown show and saying, this is the greatest theater you'll ever see. You know, this is more than a happening. This is more telling people to come out and see him. It wasn't a review of the performance or Howlin' Wolf or Muddy Waters. And those are the people I wrote about.
Wow. Let's listen to some Howlin' Wolf, because you interviewed Howlin' Wolf, and I want to ask you about that. But let's listen to Smokestack Lightning. Shall we do that?
Sure. Howlin' Wolf was, you know, in my pantheon of heroes, is so overpowering. I mean, when Sam Phillips first heard him, Sam Phillips was a man who discovered Elvis Presley and started Sun Records some years after he first heard Wolf. He said to himself, this is where the soul of man never dies. And he said, this is a voice that is so terrible. And he meant it in the sense that if you say, man, that's really bad, you mean it's really great. But he said, it's so terrible, it's so inimitable, it's beyond anything that I've ever heard. And that was my reaction when I first heard him. He just overwhelmed an audience.
Well, somebody calling me on my telephone.
So that's Howlin' Wolf, Moaning at Midnight. Peter, you talked to him, and I wanted to play a clip from one of the interviews you did with him. This is Howlin' Wolf talking to you about his own sound. Let's listen.
I know a lot of people laugh at me, you know, but I just stand out for right. Anytime you stand out for right, it says something about you. Because if I wasn't doing nothing, would nobody say nothing about me? Then here come some complaints and critics.
That's how you know you're getting ahead.
Yeah, you're doing all right. Yeah.
So he said, and here come some complaints and critics. What was he referring to? What are the complaints and the critics that he was talking about?
Howlin' Wolf was a very intelligent person, but Wolf was an aggrieved person. And he wasn't talking about critics of his music. He was talking about in life. He saw himself as victimized, and he had that attitude. He was a huge, maybe 6'3", 300 pounds.
Oh, I didn't realize he was so big.
Yeah, no. He was when you saw him on stage, particularly if you saw him at a place like Club 47, which was in a little cellar there on Palmer Street, The ceiling is supported by pillars. You just felt like when he got into the music, it was like Samson. He was going to bring down the pillars all. But that was his view, was that he was taken advantage of. And if he was taken advantage of, he would say in a mournful voice, it was his own fault for not being sufficiently guarded.
Among the great blues men that you also interviewed for Feel Like Going Home was the great Muddy Waters. So let's listen to a bit of him. This is his song, Feel Like Going Home.
Well, now I'm getting late over in the evening, I feel like blowing my horn. When I woke up this morning, all I had was gone. I'm getting late over in the evening, man, now I feel like blowing my horn.
So the great Muddy Waters with the song Feel Like Going Home. You interviewed him in 1970, by which time he'd become very well known, not only here, but internationally. And you asked him if he had any regrets about his career, and here's what he said.
I'm sorry that the world didn't know me before they did. Because, I mean, I think I worked hard enough for them to know me, you know.
Well, I agree with you there. It was a little, yeah. They could have come around a lot sooner.
A lot earlier, yeah. When I was younger, could put out more, you know.
Why did it take so long for so many people to come around to Muddy Waters?
You have here, with Muddy, with Wolf, you could name, you know, dozens and dozens of great artists who didn't receive the recognition, either for class reasons, for racial reasons, or for both. Because basically you had a mainstream culture which not only ignored what they did, but, I mean, made fun, in a sense, not just of African-American music, but of hillbilly music. It was the same sort of thing. It was class distinctions. And in the case of blues, or in the case of rhythm and blues, Muddy was a very intelligent person, and he was politic in his answers, and in a way it was more direct than I would have thought would have come from him.
Mm. And why do you think that was? Because this is one of the things I wanted to ask you, how you got these musicians to sit down with you, and why they seemed as willing as they were to be so open with you.
I think, you know, the reality is, I think everybody wants to tell this story. The guy who comes to clean your furnace, he's got a story. They want to tell you what they do, they want to tell you how they do it, but they're not going to tell somebody who doesn't show them either sufficient respect or sufficient interest.
Well, Peter, let me ask you about Lost Highway, which you published 8 years after Feel Like Going Home. In Lost Highway, the focus is American roots musicians. And so let's listen to Swinging Doors from Merle Haggard.
This old smoke-filled bar is something I'm not used to. But I gave up my home. Satisfied.
So that's Merle Haggard with his song Swinging Doors. Peter, you say in one of the videos included in the ebooks is that every moment spent with Merle Haggard was a revelation in some way.
Yeah, no, I mean, Merle has such a considered approach to his songwriting, to his singing. I mean, he's somebody who has often been underestimated or dismissed on the basis of his accent. But he, in a way, he's very much like Sam Cooke. He and Sam Cooke possessed the rare combination of qualities where they not only wrote all their songs, or most of their songs, they were artists whose voices were just beyond. There's nobody else who could deliver their songs better than they could, and they essentially produced their own sessions. My memory of this interview that I did with Merle, and I wanted to include the beginning of it where I asked him, did you have any influences? There's this kind of boom, 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 this dead air, you know, that goes on for maybe, I don't know how long, call it 10 seconds. And then he says, nope. And that was my memory of the interview.
And I've got swinging doors, a jukebox, and a bar stool. And my new home has a flashy neon.
I want to ask you finally, Feel Like Going Home came out 42 years ago, Lost Highway 34 years ago. What was it like going through all these interviews? Did anything surprise you, or did anything strike you as different all these decades later?
I've never left any of the subjects that I wrote about from the very start. I mean, if Skip James was the first person I ever interviewed, if Muddy Waters was the first, gave me the reason for getting on an airplane for the first time, and if this was over 40 years ago, I have no less interest in them today, no less passion for their music, and no less acquaintance or connection to them.
Well, Peter Gorelnik, he's a writer and Grammy-winning music historian. His enhanced ebooks, Feel Like Going Home and Lost Highway, are being released this week. A lot more information at RadioBoston.org. And Peter Gorelnik, thank you so much for coming in. What a pleasure.
Oh, thanks. It was really fun.
Well, I'm going away to live. Won't be back no more. Going back down south, child, don't you wanna go?
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.
Well, hon, I could never be satisfied, and I just couldn't keep on. Well, I know my little babe, she gonna jump and shout. That old train be late, man, Lord, and I come walking. I'll be in trouble, I'll be all ruined by. Well, honey, ain't no way to work for me to be satisfied, and I just can't keep from dying.